This is KRCB's North Bay Report. I'm Bruce Robinson. National Public Radio correspondent Tom Jelton knew that the tumultuous past century in Cuba offered an appealing subject for his second book, but he also needed a sturdy framework on which to array that story.
I was looking for a narrative that had a beginning, a middle, and an end, a kind of a plot to it, with vivid, colorful characters. And I discovered that the Bacardi family had not only really rich characters, but that over 100 years they'd been involved in every critical moment in Cuba's national development.
The result is the recently published Bacardi and the Long Fight for Cuba, an informal but deeply researched history of both the island nation and the Bacardi family, whose enduring achievement, Jelton notes, was developing a whole new style of rum.
They developed what came to be known as Cuban-style rum, which is basically the Bacardi rum that you see in liquor stores today, a very white rum, one that mixes well with soft drinks and juices. Up until the Bacardis introduced that product, there wasn't any rum like that. So they were largely responsible for what came to be known as the Age of Cocktails in the early part of the 20th century.
Established in 1862 in Santiago, the Bacardi distillery had grown to be a leading member of the nation's business community when the Cuban independence movement took hold. Years later, when Fidel Castro led the revolution to overthrow the dictatorship of Juan Batista, the Bacardis were important and enthusiastic supporters.
Pepin Bosch, in 1950, was the president of the company, had actually been finance minister in Cuba under Carlos Prio, who was the president who was overthrown in a military coup by Batista in 1952. And as a result of that and his long opposition to dictatorship in Cuba, Bosch became convinced that another Cuban revolution was needed. And when Fidel Castro came along, Pepin Bosch turned over thousands and thousands of dollars of his own money to buy weapons for Fidel and his fighters and was an enthusiastic supporter of the revolution well after Fidel came to power.
But that changed abruptly and dramatically, Jelton reports, when Castro moved to nationalize all private businesses in Cuba, including the Bacardi's company.
They confiscated all the Bacardi properties and business operations in Cuba, and then the Bacardis went into exile, and they felt betrayed, they felt double-crossed, they felt embarrassed, they felt foolish. And once they went into exile, they did a complete 180 and became Fidel Castro's worst enemy, organized a lot of anti-Castro activities, even some efforts to overthrow the Castro government by force.
Opposition that continues to this day. Meanwhile, however, the Bacardi enterprises are centered in Puerto Rico, where the company has prospered while maintaining their own independence.
It's now a very successful company, but it is still owned entirely by this one Cuban family, the Bacardi family. There are about 500 or 600 members of the family now, and I certainly don't know of any other wholly owned family company as big and successful as Bacardi is.
Cuba today is poised for a new round of change, Jelton says, but what role, if any, the Bacardi family might play in this future will have to be the subject of another book another time. I'm Bruce Robinson reporting for KRCB News.